Welcome to the HR Room Podcast, the podcast series from Insight HR, where we talk to business leaders from around Ireland and share their advice on how to create the HR systems and workplace culture that's right for your business. For show notes and bonus content, simply visit www.insighthr.ie/podcast. And remember, if you need any HR support, get in touch with us at Insight HR. Whether it's conducting a complex workplace investigation, filling a gap by providing you with a virtual or on-site HR resource, or providing advice via our HR support line, we'll help you resolve whatever human resources challenge your business is facing. Okay, let's get started.
On today's episode of the HR Room Podcast, we'll be looking at one of the most common questions that employers have when it comes to HR: how on earth to choose the right outsourced provider. So guiding us with their wisdom today, we have Mary Cullen and Liam Barton. Hi, guys.
Hi, Sarah.
Mary, Insight HR works with all kinds of clients, from those that have internal HR functions already to those that don't. In your view, what are the benefits of outsourcing the HR function, or even some elements of the HR function?
Thanks, Sarah. I think the first thing anyone needs to think about is cost. With outsourcing, you can get certain projects completed faster, more efficiently, within a budget that maybe the HR department can stretch to themselves. Expertise is another good reason to outsource, particularly on areas where you or a HR function might be light, maybe something like employment law or compliance or GDPR, something like a workplace investigation or an appeal hearing where you don't have a lot of expertise in-house. Sometimes HR functions or managers can't stretch to the volume of work that needs to be done within the HR function. So, you know, sometimes you'll see, particularly in standalone positions, where a single HR manager might be tasked with all the administration, plus guiding and advising the frontline management, plus ad hoc HR projects, plus anything that might come up on the day. And never mind training and development and performance management and all of those areas. Sometimes they just simply can't stretch to it on their own because they're in a standalone function. And having an outsourced provider might help boost what they can do within their organization. And, you know, I guess it's about specialist skills and expertise that you can bring in to help your organization run more smoothly and efficiently.
Liam, what kind of challenges do you think that an organization might actually face when it comes to outsourcing their HR function?
Yes, some of the challenges they can face is a fear either from within their own HR department or within individual employees themselves. So if they get particularly used to dealing with a particular HR resource in-house, they may have a reluctance to deal with an external support body. Typically, one of the difficulties is, as Mary alluded to, the level of expertise. I think that's a huge issue for in-house HR departments, and it's a huge challenge for them. So I think it's overcoming that, really, and making sure that the employees, the employer and the employees are happy with the level of support and the level of advice and knowledge that they're particularly receiving from the external support. But generally, I think there's two things probably, Sarah. It's a level of fear, and it's probably a resistance to change. So I think the communication process around that and achieving buy-in from the organization and from the employees is particularly important, and that it's not a rushed process, that it's done with time and consultation and a degree of project planning, so that any concerns can be assuaged and can be explained relatively easily. So I think it's like any process. it comes down to planning, it comes down to communication, it comes down to buy-in from those stakeholders or participants. So I think having a plan in place helps, and that you give it the appropriate level of time. Because if you're planning to outsource part or all of your HR function, it's a significant investment. It's something culturally and organizationally that you have to get right. So you need to be absolutely sure about the level of expertise and the level of integrity and honesty that you're contracting in. Because the worst thing you can do is make a bad decision and end up either in a contract that you can't get out of, or with a provider who can't provide the level of support and expertise which they have intimated they would. And that can lead to multiple problems for organizations on a number of levels. And particularly, I think that the key message is making sure you get the right advice and support at the right time, and that you can trust the advice and the support and the services that you're being provided with.
I think it's always important, isn't it, Liam, to, you know, get references too, because there's no one better than a provider's customers to give a real flavor of what that provider can do. You know, and I would always encourage, you know, HR professionals or businesses embarking on outsourcing to actually look for those references, because you should be able to point to people within that sector who have used your services, or to organizations of a certain size that have used your services. And, you know, really the contractor, the person who's contracting the services, should be able to say, well, can I speak to somebody who can recommend you? And when you speak to those people, really get into, you know, what was provided, what was the service like, what was their response time, you know, how good were the people that they provided to you? Were you dealing with the person who sold you the service or not? Was that clear to you when you purchased the service? These are all problems that contracting organizations discover having signed an agreement with the provider, and then it's a bit too late.
Absolutely, Mary. Just to give one example in our field, I mean, I would have a real concern regarding providers out there who are relying on inexperienced HR practitioners to provide very, very high level expert advice. And I mean, at Insight HR, we would pride ourselves on being, you know, experts in terms of employment law, best practice and case law, which is coming before the WRC or high courts. And one particular example is very often, Mary, you and I would receive inquiries regarding workplace investigations. And very often we find that the particular employee, even at low levels of disciplinary issues, has been suspended on full pay. And, you know, at Insight HR, we would give specialist advice in this area. And it has become increasingly rare that people would be suspended in line with the Bank of Ireland case. And so, therefore, there are particular protocols you have to go through before you even take a decision or conduct a risk analysis in terms of suspending someone. But in many cases, when somebody comes to us with an investigatory process, the employee has already been suspended on full pay. In many cases where it's been entirely unnecessary and not correct advice, in my view, to do so. So I really would urge organizations, as you've said, Mary, to do a reference check, to talk to a reference site, to put questions to them, to absolutely assure themselves regarding the integrity and the expertise of both the organization and the representative who is going to be representing that organization. Because very often, when an organization is going out to market, they're dealing with a sales representative. Very often, that won't be the person they'll be ringing or who will be providing with them with the support or advice. So they really do need to reassure themselves that the quality and expertise and intellectual knowledge that they're contracting in is exactly as they expect. And unfortunately, in certain cases, we come across organizations who are contracting in particular supports, but they're getting a lower level of expertise and technical skills and knowledge than they previously were led to believe they would receive. So I really would urge organizations to do a full reference check on any organization and to ensure that the organization has the backup support necessary to provide that support.
It's, you know, I've found with on occasion, you know, at Insight HR, we, you know, hear appeals or, do desk reviews of investigations where somebody has appealed the process and said that, you know, it was unfair. And sometimes when I read those reports, I'm really shocked because they might actually be eligible. And on that basis, of course, the employee is going to appeal it and say it was unfair, or something like key areas aren't examined, and it becomes clear that the person who carried out the investigation didn't actually know what they were doing, despite charging the organisation for it. And that's just, I guess, another example of an area where an organisation contracts out something in good faith, because they don't have the internal expertise to handle it. And actually, the person that they've outsourced that particular piece of work to has made the situation worse for them as an organisation. So I think, you know, HR people need to be very careful about who they're engaging with and why.
Yeah, and sometimes the decision to outsource HR is actually made at a senior management level, and the existing HR team might not be happy about that decision. Is that something that you've kind of come across a lot of, Mary, this kind of resistance from internal HR teams?
Often the HR team or someone from the HR team is contracting you. So I guess it's probably not as big an issue when you're being contracted to, do workplace investigation or provide guidance and support over the telephone or for policy development, training and development. HR teams don't tend to get upset about that. Where they might get upset is where you're reviewing the function with a view to seeing how efficient it is. And in certain circumstances, that's contracted by the financial controller or director or a member of the senior management team or the CEO. And so you're coming in and you're reviewing the function, which might ultimately mean that parts of it are outsourced, or you're recommending that things can be done differently. But again, from any HR consultant's perspective, you know, communicating in an honest, open, respectful way to the people you're dealing with and building trust as quickly as you possibly can is important. In general, we get on with anyone that we work with, irrespective of what we're there to do or why we've been brought into an organization. But it's very important that you're conscious of the fact that somebody might be fearful for their own role. Everybody has a life and a family and a mortgage and all of those things to pay for and think about. And so when we go into an organization, we're there to help and support. We're not there to cause problems.
I think there's a lot of options for HR outsourcing in the Irish marketplace as well. Liam, do you have any tips for HR practitioners on how to actually select a provider?
Yeah, I think one of the things that we talk about is looking at what exactly it is that they're looking for to begin with. Is it a level of support that's on a project basis? Is it a long-term support mechanism that they don't have particular expertise within their organization, so it makes sense to contract it in over a 2 to 3 year period? many organizations now with COVID are looking at their HR function and the design of it, the support that they're currently receiving. It's almost formed a review of what the HR function looks like and how best it can be delivered going forward. Many of them are looking at, I suppose, interim placement resources or whether the organization can be provided with a HR support from an outside third party like Insight HR on a virtual or interim basis. So there's a range of supports there. I think the key thing is to ask the right questions. Who am I going to be dealing with? What's the level of expertise or knowledge of that particular individual? As Mary alluded to, what are the response times? What's the support and backup? So if it's a one person or two person consultancy, what happens when there's a particular project? Who is going to provide response times in that particular instance? What's the level of knowledge regarding policy development or best practice within organizations? What's the level of expertise and experience within the organization? And I think it's very, very important that HR practitioners satisfy their curiosity and ask the right questions and reassure themselves, because it is a long-term relationship, and it's a very, very important relationship that the HR department feel supported with the right expertise and the right knowledge. And if it's a little bit like, I suppose, a recruitment process, if you end up with a bad hire or if you end up selecting the wrong provider, it can have very, very detrimental effects, and it's long-term detrimental effects. So in the few examples we've given, whether it's around, you know, paid suspension or the correct advice at the right time, or making sure that you have somebody, as Mary alluded to, who actually knows how to issue a terms of reference for an organization in terms of an investigation process, or who knows how to come to findings of fact in relation to an investigation. Because many organizations will say they have that level of expertise, but in Mary and my experience, very often not. And so you're buying the level, the quality and the expertise and the support to really a semi-investigatory process where you look at experience, expertise, knowledge, backup capability, website, look at reference sites, ask the right questions, satisfy yourself, give yourself a number of weeks to make a decision. And I would reinforce what Mary said. It's not always about price. It's about quality. And I think if you make a decision in haste, you may live to regret it.
So what about organizations then that aren't happy with their current HR provider? Mary, do you have any advice?
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess a lot will depend on whatever kind of a contract you have with that provider. But generally, you should, before you engage with a provider, make sure that there are exit clauses within them. You don't want to find yourself in a situation that you have signed something and agreed to something and maybe passed a cooling off period and discover then that it's very difficult to get yourself out of that contract. I'm a real believer that the service should speak for itself. The customer relationship, the quality of the service that's being provided, they should all speak for themselves. And if for whatever reason a customer is not satisfied with the service they're getting, they ought to be able to walk away from that service with relative ease, with a reasonable period of notice. So I would always say, you know, have clear expectations right at the outset. What do you want? What do you need? Who's the best person to provide that service to you, and how can I extract myself from it if it's no longer fit for purpose, or I'm disappointed with the quality of the service that I'm receiving, or it's not what I was promised. And these are things that we're hearing every day of the week from our clients, from the marketplace, where people find themselves a little bit stung, by some providers out there. Not all providers, there's some fantastic providers out there, but it is buyer beware, be careful and choose carefully.
Perfect. Guys, I think we're going to have to wrap it up, but before we do, I have been scribbling down some notes as we've been chatting, and I'd like to kind of condense our thoughts to three key takeaways, if you'll humour me. So I'm going to have a go at deciphering what I've written. And takeaway number one from this episode is that you should really have a clear idea about what you need before shopping for a HR provider. Are you looking for somebody to run a specific program of work, like a workplace investigation? Is it someone to manage the recruitment process? Do you need someone to come on board and develop policies? Do you need someone to implement organizational change? Or perhaps you're even looking for someone who can be an interim, either on-site or virtual placement or resource for you. The second takeaway then is that it's not always down to price. So what you really need to be thinking about is organizational culture and fit. Does your chosen provider fit in with your culture and have the same values as you? Do they operate with honesty and integrity? But also, do they actually have the internal resources that they have stated that they have? Third takeaway then is read the small print thoroughly. What appears to be cheap might not be cheap if you're actually locked into a contract for a number of years. As well as that, like, these proposals could be written in such a way that the client thinks that they're getting a whole load of HR services, but actually when it comes down to needing a specific program of work, that might then be a chargeable extra. So yeah, those are my key takeaways. Guys, would you say that I've kind of got those right?
You summed it up perfectly, Sarah.
Absolutely.
Well done.
You. Okay, great. Well, look, thanks once again, Mary and Liam, for joining us. And I hope to catch up with you both soon for another episode of the HR Room podcast.
Thank you, Sarah.
Thanks for joining us today on the HR Room podcast, the podcast series from Insight HR that helps you create the human resources systems and workplace culture that's right for your business. For show notes and bonus content, go to www.insighthr.ie/podcast. That's www.insighthr.ie/podcast. We'd love it if you subscribe, like, and share the show with any friends and colleagues who are looking for fresh ideas on how to create the ideal workplace for their business. And remember, if you need any HR support, get in touch with us at Insight HR. Whether it's conducting a complex workplace investigation, filling a gap by providing you with a virtual or an on-site HR resource, or providing advice via our HR support line, we'll help you resolve whatever human resources challenge your business is facing. Thanks, and see you soon.